this morning. Amen. John chapter 21 and beginning verse 15. Remember all the announcements, like we said, if you didn't get a calendar, if you didn't get one of the Sword of the Lords or one of the other papers, some of those are back there. And I think all the Baptist bread are gone. They get gone as soon as we get those in. I don't know if we need to up how many we get of them, but that's a good daily devotional if you hadn't started going through that. It's good. You can get started good if you got one, because today's the first day of March. You can get started good in it and go through there. And those daily devotionals there. John chapter 21, if you want to stand as we read the scripture. John chapter 21, beginning to verse 15. John chapter 21, beginning to verse 15. Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? I wonder how many times the Lord's had to say the same thing to us over and over again. We don't need to feel hard at Peter here, do we? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saith unto him, Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Amen. Ask Brother Johnny if he would lead us in prayer at this time. Seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, of course, the first part is a conversation with the Lord and Simon Peter, as the Lord asked him three different times, Lovest thou me? And he told him, Feed my lambs and then feed my sheep, two different times there. And just maybe an admonishment for him to just, you know, if he loves the Lord, then he's going to follow after what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says if you're my disciples, you'll follow my word. And so he's going to follow and do what God wants him to do. He's going to be leading God's people, feeding God's people. And that's what God's called him to do. But then the Lord makes this statement in verse 18. And the Bible tells us in verse 19 that that was signifying what death that he should die. Or what death he should die. And then he goes on to say that he should glorify God. And all of the disciples, the tradition tells us, and this probably is a good indication that this is probably true, that history records that all of the disciples, except for John the Beloved, died a martyr's death. And I didn't have all that before me. I was going to go down through all of those, but probably it's good that I don't for sake of time. But some of them were crucified as Jesus was crucified. Some of them were stoned to death, and I believe, and there's a couple different ways. Some of them were killed, maybe beheaded, and each one of them, though, had to die some type of a martyr's death. And tradition actually tells us that Peter died a martyr's death, and that's the reason he said, you know, when you're young, you went wherever you wanted to go, basically. And then he goes on to say, but when you're old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldst. And so that may be signifying his death of crucifixion. And it's even said that Peter was one that said he wasn't worthy to be crucified as the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. He asked that he would be crucified upside down. Some of the times the crucifixion wasn't a cross that we think of, like one beam and then another cross beam, but sometimes it was like an X. And they would just crucify him like that. And that may have been the type of cross that Peter was crucified upon, but asked to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified as the Lord was. And no doubt in that day, he had went through much in learning and growing in the Lord, and God had used him in a great way. And we got a lot of that history. If you read through the book of Acts, the first part of the book of Acts is a good history of how God used the Apostle Peter. And the last part of the book of Acts is a good history of how God used the Apostle Paul. And so God's just got exactly what we need in His Word, don't He? Amen? But then He mentions about John the Beloved. And He said, this is the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. This is John. This is the writer of this gospel. He goes on to tell us this is him. But he says about him, he said in verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. If I will that he tarry till I come. And then the next verse says, some begin to say that meant that he wasn't going to die. Well, it didn't mean that, but it did mean something probably, because he wasn't going to die a martyr's death like the other disciples did. They tried. Amen. They tried and failed. Amen. They burned him in oil. They boiled him in oil, rather. And no doubt his body was burnt, but he didn't die. They tried to kill him in a martyr's death. And then they tried to kill him in a martyr's death by putting him on a desert island all by himself. Put him on the Isle of Patmos to stay all by himself. But he didn't die like that neither, did he? Because we got the last chapter in the book, praise God, because he went there to the Isle of Patmos and the Lord spoke to him there on the Isle of Patmos. And then somebody else said, well, you know, maybe it is a picture too of him seeing the rapture of the church as he did in Revelations. Chapter 4, when he says, after this I looked and he said, come up hither. That's a picture of the rapture of the church. So he did see in the future, he did see more further than what his physical death was on this earth. But I want you to look at that little phrase. I've been preaching. I think I preached one message on go and one message on if and one message on another two-letter word, I think. But I want to look at the little phrase here a little bit bigger this morning, okay? Hold on. I'm going to give you three words. He says, if I will. Notice the Lord says that, if I will. Ain't that something? The Lord gives this statement, and the first part He says, if I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? And of course, if I will is mentioned again in verse 23, just repeating what he said. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? I'd like to say this is the last message that old John got and Peter got. This is the last message, and particularly to Peter here, and the disciples are getting this last message from the Lord in a personal note here to the apostle Peter. And he says, it's a message concerning the will of God. I started the title of this message, Last But Not Least. Amen, this is a good message he gave him. Last message he gave him, but it wasn't the least of the messages that he gave him, because he talked to him about the will of God. He said, if I will, if I will. That shows us the will of God. And if there's anything the Christian ought to be concerned with, is being in the will of God. Amen. The sinner, the part about the sinner concerning God's will is that God has already made a preparation for them to be saved, and that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is for whosoever will to come unto the Lord and be saved. But if we're saved, as we see Apostle Paul was, and Apostle Peter here that we're speaking about, and then John also too, and all these were saved, he says, I've got a plan for your life. I've got a will for your life. I've got a direction for you. Ain't that a blessing? That the Lord doesn't just leave us in the dark. I mean, there's sometimes that we maybe not sure about what direction to go in and what to do, but it's those times we start knocking on the doors of heaven. It's those times we begin to seek after the will of God. And He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek after His will, you're going to find what the Lord wants you to do. God's got something for all of us to do. Let me say, first of all, if I will about the will of God shows His plan. His plan. Now, particularly in verse 18, he tells us there of his death, of what type of death he would die. And in verse 19, he says this, he signified by what death he should glorify God. Ain't that something to notice? He said it was to glorify God. You know, the Bible says, Paul said, do all that you do to the glory of God the Father. I believe that was a good thought for him to hear that. Praise God. Peter's going to say, well, praise God, they sometimes I'm going to be in the will of God, glorifying God. I'm even going to glorify God in my death. Now, that might not be something for everybody to praise the Lord about. Like we say, you know, we don't want to go on the next bus. We're ready to die, but we don't want to go, you know, but we want to go in God's time for us. And that's what he's telling this. And ain't it a blessing he was able to say, in the end of your life, when it comes time for you to step out of this life, you're going to be in the will of God. You're going to glorify me in your death. That's a blessing, ain't it? Well, you know what? I believe we could be assured that the same thing can happen in our life if we follow God day by day as God directs us and God leads us. I believe we can be assured the same thing can happen in our life. We can be in the center of His will. Oh, ain't that a blessing? The Bible tells us in verse 21 and 22, he's talking about John the Beloved here. Peter seeing him that... him saith to Jesus, what will this man do? Amen. He could have preached the whole message on that, couldn't he? Now, wait, you don't need to be looking at your brother. It's not your brother that's in need. It's you. You need to be looking at yourself. But he didn't do that this time. And in fact, even before this, in the beginning of the scripture, he kind of leads some others astray. He said, I go a-fishing, and the rest of them went with him. And they stepped out of God's will and plan for their life, but you know, he starts looking around at others and what's this going to do? What's that going to do? And you know, that didn't matter, but God did have a plan for John's life too. Amen. It wasn't the same as a plan for Peter's life, but God did have a plan for his life, and God had a plan for Paul and other apostles, and God has a plan for your life. God has a direction for your life. The Bible tells us that we have a race to run, praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We've got a course to follow. We've got a race to follow. We've got a direction to go in, and there's nobody else going to be able to go in that direction for you. There's nobody else going to be able to cross paths with the people that you're going to cross paths with. There's nobody else going to be able to reach the folks that you're going to be able to reach. The Lord gives us that plan. He said, if I will, praise God, we ought to be concerned about the will of God. The Lord says, if I will, and Peter should have perked his ears up, Lord, what do you want done? What is going to happen in your will? What do I need to do? What's your plan for my life? A lot of folks is getting direction. A lot of folks is going off in some directions that ain't in the will of God. But I'll tell you what, we can get in this book and we can get the direction we need and we can follow after the Lord and we can be pleasing in His sight and we can be a help and a blessing to others. What a privilege we have. And we can be sure He's going to finish the job. I don't know, I've used this verse or quoted this verse two or three different times lately in the message, but I'll tell you it's good. Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Amen. Guarantee you, if we want to live for God and we want to be in the center of His will, we want to serve Him, I guarantee you, we'll be able to do it till we go to heaven. We'll be able to do exactly what God wants us to do.
in spite of the devil, in spite of the world, in spite of this flesh, in spite of all the imps of hell, we can still do God's will for our life in these days. Ain't that a blessing? His plan, no, devil don't like his plan. He fights against his plan. God's got a plan for us. God's got a direction for us. What a blessing when we follow in it and go forward in it. I mean, also in Philippians, the Bible says, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I've told you before, I like an assistant pastor over in Belmont, and he always used to say, he talked about that verse, he said, you know, notice Paul didn't say these several things I dabble in. He said, that's the way we get sometimes. These several things we got started. These several things we dabble in. But Paul said, this one thing I do. He said, there's something I'm doing that's important in my life. More important than anything else, praise God. God has a plan and a direction for my life. Amen. I don't care if it's raining out there or not. I'm about to take a run out there. Amen. I don't know if I'd get finished if I do that, though. Might as well just stay in here, but he says, one thing I do, forgetting those things behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I like to think about it like this. He said, I'm pressing toward the mark. You know, there was times he had obstacles in his way just like we do. There was times he had mountains in the way and he had valleys in the way and he had troubles and trials in the way, but he said, I'm not giving up, I'm not slowing down, I'm not backing up. He said, I'm pressing up against it. I might not be moving forward right now, but I'm pressing up against it, and God's going to move it out of the way. And I'm going to keep on, because he says it's his will. If I will, yes, Lord, what is your will? I need to follow in. I need to follow in that direction. Apostle Paul even closed his life with that confidence and that joy. He said to Timothy, he said that I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, I've finished that course. I've finished that race the Lord wants me to go on. And of course, he had a death that glorified God. Amen. He went out of this life a martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. First of all, we see his plan. I was hoping I'd get through point number one before 12 o'clock. I almost did. I'll give you the time again, 12:01. Second of all, let me say, if I will, we see his power here. We can do the will of God because of his plan. We can do the will of God, second of all, because of his power. He said, if I will, verse 22 tells us there, he said, if I will, if I will it, it's going to be done. If I say it, if I set it into motion, it's going to be done. The only thing that's going to hinder it is ourself. There's no way that the devil can stand against the plan of God. The Bible says about the church that the Lord said he's founded the church upon the rock and he's established it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, hey, my power, my ability is going to get the job done. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and I might have quoted this last week too, or week before last, but it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And also in 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us to save, it is the power of God. That little word, power there in the Greek, it's a dynamos. It's the same word we get the word dynamite from. So, I mean, it's explosive power that God's got. Amen. The gospel is a powerful thing. There's no way that it can be stopped. It can be hindered. It can be slowed down. It's going to get accomplished. The Bible says his word will not return unto him void. The gospel's going to get the work done. It's up to us whether we're going to be a part of it, but the gospel's going to get out. God's word is going to get proclaimed, praise God. He's got a plan for us. If I will, he's got the power to be right behind it, praise God. We can get the job done. Then thirdly, let me say, got through that in quick, didn't I? Might ought to look, see if I need to back up or something. I don't. His presence, praise God. His presence. He said, if I will, follow me. Follow me. Ain't that good? I mean, now we talk about, the Bible says, you know, he said, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. He said, lo, I'm with you always until the end of the world. But notice, a disciple is one that's a follower of the Lord. A disciple is one that, it's not just that he's beside of us, and of course, really, I mean, he's inside of us. But what I'm saying is that the direction should be that his steps are being taken and we're following after his steps. He said, if I will, they tarry till I come. What's that to thee? Follow thou me. What does it matter what anybody else is going to do? Follow me. What does it matter if anybody else does it or doesn't do it? You need to just follow me. Amen. You think about it. He's thinking about somebody else. But the thing he needed to realize was, I've got a will for your life, Peter, and you need to get busy following me. No matter what John does, no matter what Mark does, no matter what Matthew does, no matter what anybody else does, you need to follow after me. Ain't that good? And we're not alone in this thing. Amen. He said, follow me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Bible says, for even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Ye should follow his steps. A good brother many years ago, and I believe in recent years somebody's maybe took this phrase and went off the deep end with it, but many years ago a preacher wrote a book about this verse of Scripture, and the title of his book was, What Would Jesus Do? And how it started was, there was somebody that come into the congregation new, and kept coming into the congregation and kept coming there, and they kept wondering about that individual and thinking about that individual. But it got to before long where they started realizing the one they need to be thinking about is following after the Lord. And then God would help that individual, and God would help anybody else if we would follow after the Lord's example. What would Jesus do in this situation, you see? And so we're to follow after the Lord, though. And I preached a message one time before. I said, some of this crowd using that and carrying, wearing these bracelets and everything, and they looking like the devil and hell and everything else, and they holding on to that slogan, what would Jesus do? They ain't got a clue what Jesus would do, because they ain't following after him. Amen. Preached a message one time, what would Jesus really do? Amen. That'd be a good rerun, wouldn't it? But I tell you, some of these folks, I mean, they ain't in line with the will of God. But that's not what the Lord's talking about here. He's talking about you finding out God's will for your life and getting busy with it and following after the Lord in the direction God has called you to. Well, that's really where the devil wants to trip up that new convert. He wants to trip up that person that just recently got saved. And he don't want you following in the Lord's step. He don't want you to make that change. He don't want you to read your Bible. He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to come to church. He does everything he can to discourage you from following after in the Lord's steps. Because he knows you start walking with him, having good fellowship with him, that you won't be slowing down. You won't be slacking up. You'll be going forward for Jesus Christ, and that's what we should all do. The Bible tells us Psalms, I like this passage here. We need to just be in step with him. Let me get this passage over in Psalms. And I got one more point, and then we can go to the house. But Psalms chapter 26, the Bible says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Ain't that good? We can have a firm foundation with the Lord, can't we? Then he says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Psalmist knew about walking with the Lord, didn't he? He knew about following after God and his path for his life. In step with him. Not ahead of him and not behind him, but in step with the Lord. Walking with him, as the old song says, and he walks with me and he talks with me. That's fellowship in that garden with the Lord, and we're following after him and his steps. Then last of all, give me this thought. He says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Notice concerning his will, we need his plan, we need his power, we need his presence, but last of all, And not least, but last of all, we need His promise. We need His promise. We need the Word of God. We need to follow after God's Word. And not only that, He gives us a blessed promise of His second coming here. He says about John, He says, if I will that he tarry till I come. And that might be an indication about that God was going to give him. John didn't know what the Lord was talking about there. As he wrote it down, he penned it down by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He didn't know what he was talking about, but he found out what he was talking about on the Isle of Patmos. He found out what he was talking about then. He was going to get to see the rapture in that wonderful privilege there of the revelation of the Word of God to him. He was going to get to see the rapture of the church before it ever happened. Ain't that a blessing? That was His promise, praise God. And we've got that promise too, praise God. We can stay in His will. We can go forward for God. We can go forward for Christ. And we can be thankful for that because, praise God, He's coming back again. He's not leaving us alone. He's not left us comfortless. We can walk with Him, but praise God, one of these days we'll be in His very presence. Some have tried to explain. I had one of the family of another funeral that we preached, and Miss Bessie's had come around and talked to us. One young girl that got saved, praise God, and we talked to her, and she began to talk about, you know, what happens, you know, when you die and everything. And I said, well, some believe in the soul sleep and everything, but I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I said that Paul said, here's the best verse you can go on. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Now, we have service here. We have worship here. And the Bible says if there's two or three gathered here, I'm glad we got more than two or three. But if there's just two or three, he said, if you gather in my name, I'll be in the midst. We'll feel His presence with just a handful. We'll feel His presence with a house full. We can feel the presence of God. So He had to be talking about something better, amen, than just feeling Him. It was going to be in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And what a glorious day that'll be. And He promises us that it ain't going to be long. It's going to be soon that He's coming back to get His church, praise God. I know we can spend a lot of time on this last point. Hey, I was going to give you a couple of references, but I was looking around and I seen where there was 600. Somebody said that, and I didn't count them, okay? Here's one. Don't quote me on this, but somebody else said. That's the way you get out of it, Aunt Pete. Somebody else said there was 603 references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Now, that's exciting, amen? If it's anywhere close to that, Brother Johnny, that's something to shout about. 603 references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ just in the New Testament alone. Ain't that a blessing? Well, I'll give you three, okay? You'll have to find the other 600 yourself. John 14:3 says, and here's two in the book of John. John 14:3 says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Then he told him over in John chapter 16, verse 22, he says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. He said, you got sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take away from you. Praise God. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He's coming back. He come back to get John. He come back to get Peter. They was in the presence of the Lord. Their bodies will be changed one of these days. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. What a blessing, he says. He's left us with this promise. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, I didn't forget, I got one more. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If I will, the Lord has a plan for us. The Lord has a will for us. Wouldn't God, we'd be busy about the Father's business like we preached the other service. Amen. Ask the musicians to come around. The Lord knows your heart. Thank God for His goodness. Good to be saved and know it. If you're not saved this morning,